الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد All praise is due to Allah and as such we praise Him and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his companions and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the day of judgment Continuing with the Sharh Thalathat al-Usul, the Shaykh says, Rahimahullah, in his Sharh, Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, huwa ifradu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bil-ibadati, bi-an la yattakhidu al-insanu ma'allahi ahadan ya'buduh, wa yatakarrabu ilayh, kama ya'budu Allah ta'ala wa yatakarrabu ilayh. We dealt with the first category of Tawheed, which is the Tawheed al-Rububiyya. The fact that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, sustainer, provider, arranger of the affairs of the creation. And we gave a number of evidences that support that view. Second kind of tawheed, which we should all be aware of, is the tawheed of uluhiyya. From the word ilah, ma'luh. One ilah is whatever is worshipped. A ma'luh is one who is worshipped. So in fact, it is the tawheed of ibadah, tawheed al-ibadah, as the ulama call it. The maintaining Allah's uniqueness in terms of worshipping Him. That means that we single out Allah in worship, where we do not worship anyone along with Him, or seek nearness to Him, as we do so with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not a nabi, not an angel, and not otherwise. Al-thalith, tawheed al-asma'i wa-sifat. وهو إفراد الله سبحانه وتعالى بما سمى به نفسه ووصف به نفسه في كتابه أو على لسان رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وذلك بإثبات ما أثبته ونفي ما نفاه من غير تحريف ولا تعطيل ومن غير تكييف ولا تمثيل Thirdly, maintaining Allah's uniqueness in His names and attributes which means to single out Allah concerning that which He named Himself with or that which He described Himself with in the Qur'an and we said there's a difference between al-ism and al-sifa we all remember that al-ism is different than al-sifa sifa is name ism is name sifa is an attribute example this is from our Saturday class for those who don't attend the Saturday class we said One of the names of Allah is Ar-Rahman, right? And that name of Allah includes and indicates the quality of Rahmah. Right. There are times where Allah will have an attribute that doesn't have a name. Can someone give us an example? Every name has an attribute. But there are sometimes attributes which do not have a name. It's not one of the 99 names of Allah Azza wa Jal, which we know of. There are more than that, but the ones that Allah revealed to us. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. It's a sifa. It's an attribute of Allah that no slumberness or sleep overtake Him. But this is not from the names of Allah. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. It's not from the names of Allah. From the names of Allah, Al-Barr, Al-Rahim, Al-Wadud, Al-Ghafoor. But not one of the names of Allah is لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. But it is an attribute. It's a quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what is intended. So we single out Allah. And we believe in everything that He named Himself with, or He described Himself with in His book, or upon the tongue of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we do so by affirming what Allah affirmed for Himself, and negating what Allah negated for Himself. We do so without tahrif. Tahrif means distortion. Okay? For example, your boss gives you a document, a contract, right? And in this contract, you know, there are the articles of the contract, the conditions which you must abide with. So if you bring that white out, you know, they call it liquid here, and you erase something and you write something different, right? This is called tahrif. You're distorting the text of the contract. You're changing what is supposed to be there. You're taking something out, adding something in. This is called تحريف, distortion. ولا تعطيل, denying. تعطيل like سيارة معطلة. Okay? وبئر معطلة in the Quran. بئر is the well. معطلة, not being used. Something that is malfunctioning. Something that is not in proper use. So the تعطيل of the صفات of Allah, how would that happen? By denying it. So you have Muslims that deny Allah's attributes. You have Muslims that do tahreef. What is intended by hands of Allah? Ni'mah. They say it's the ni'mah of Allah. Right? Is that possible? That's impossible. Because Allah told Iblis, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْهِ. What prevented you from prostrating to that which I created with both of my hands? If we go on to interpret yet, I'm not yet, I'm just as a word, but for Allah Azza wa Jalla, it's nothing you imagine. If you want to interpret the word yet as ni'mah, that means that Allah created Adam with two bounties, two ni'mat, ni'matan. Does that make sense? Does it make any sense? They say what is intended by a ni'mah is quwwa. By yet, I mean quwwa. What is intended by the hand is power. Did Allah create Adam with two powers? No. So when they could not accept the apparent meaning of the Quran, they had to do some twisted understanding. In the process, they fell into the very thing that they're trying to run away from. What are they trying to run away from? They're trying to prove that Allah is not like His creation, right? So they said, if the creation has hands, we cannot say that Allah has hands. Because if we say that Allah has hands, we're making Allah like His creation. So we deny it. In the process, they fell into denying the apparent meaning of the Quran and likening Allah to His creation. Receive? Because had they not had this understanding, there would be no problem. So they fell into the very issue that they were running away from, and they added over that the tahreef and the ta'teef, denying the meaning. So you have Muslims who say, Allah does not get angry. Allah does not become pleased. Allah does not descend into the lowest heaven at the last hour of the night. Even the hadith in Bukhari. Allah is not above the heaven. Allah is not above the creation. Not separate from the creation. They deny every name and attribute which you have in the Quran and the Sunnah because of this misunderstanding that Allah is like His creation. And so because of that they fell into this error. This area of disbelief. It's an area of disbelief when we do ilhad, when we do deviance, when we are deviant concerning Allah's names and attributes. This is the worst kind of sin because it deals with the essence of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the one that we are worshipping. When we are speaking about Him without knowledge, when we are denying things that He taught us in the Quran, this is very dangerous. But many Muslims have fallen into this trap due to not being educated, right? This is this problem, that we did not receive proper education. Rather, we received improper education, right? They taught us the opposite of what you hear today. They taught us the Ash'ari belief system, right? Which they have deduced from their own resources, which entail denying everything that I mentioned, right? You don't believe Allah has hands, you don't believe Allah is above the throne, you don't believe Allah is above the heavens, you don't believe Allah has a face, you don't, no, you say, no, don't you dare say that, right? So we become afraid and we believe something which Allah taught us the opposite of in the Quran. So we have to make a choice. Either Allah was not saying the truth in the Quran, and if you believe so, you've left Islam. Or Allah is saying the truth in the Quran, and people are misunderstanding the ayat. And that's what it is. That's what it is. So, من غير تحريف ولا تعطيل ومن غير تكييف ولا تمثيل. You should know this. We don't do distortion of the ayat. We don't do denying of the meaning in the ayat. We keep it as it is. Whatever Allah said, or the Prophet ﷺ said about Allah. Takyif is mentioning the manner. How? How is it done? How is Allah's face? How is Allah's hands? We don't say anything about that. Huh? Why? لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There's nothing like unto Him, subhanahu.
there's nothing like Allah. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. There's none co-equal to him. So how is unknown? If it was important for our belief system, then Allah would have revealed that in the Quran. Or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have taught his companions how these qualities are. He never spoke about them. He never explained. The companions never asked. And Allah didn't reveal it in the Quran. What does that mean? It's none of our business. It's none of our business. This is why when a man came to Imam Malik, rahimahullah, and not saying that we are Malikis, you know, following the Maliki madhab, just because I quote Imam Malik doesn't mean that I'm a Maliki. We quote all Imams, Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, Imam Malik, Shafi'i, Hanbali, whoever has something good to say, we bring it to the table. He was giving a dars much better than this one, of course, and a man came in and said, Ya Imam, كيف استوى الرحمن على العرش؟ O Imam, how did Allah rise above the throne? Huh? How? He wants to know how. The Imam put his head down until they saw sweat starting to formulate on his forehead. He was sweating from this heavy, heavy question. What is this? Then he raised his head and he told them, Al-Istiwa'u Ma'lum. The word istiwa in the Arabic language is known, rising above, transcendency, rising above, being high. وَالْكَيْفُ مَجْهُولِ. How? This is unknown. وَالْإِيمَانُ بِهِ وَاجِبُ. For you to believe in this is an obligation, because it's in the Quran. وَالسُّؤَالُ عَنْهُ بِدْعَ. And for you to ask about this is an innovation. Then he commanded his students to take this man outside the masjid. Take him out. Because he was contaminating the belief system of the Muslims. No one wanted to think about that. And we should not want to think about that. How? Yeah, none of your business how. It doesn't matter how. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't tell us, we don't want to know. But because we don't know how, doesn't mean we deny. Which is what happened. They said, we don't know how, so it must be like the creation. If it's like the creation, then we're making Allah like his creation, then we don't believe it anymore. You see? So it's always trying to avoid something and falling into that thing and extra deviance. The Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, including the four Imams, had no problems with these issues. They had no problems. They accepted them face value. They accepted them according to the apparent meaning. There was no injecting ideas, philosophy. This is all what you hear right now is from the Greek philosophy that was popular among the reverts into Islam when Islam spread and many people entered into the deen of Allah from various religions. They brought with them some of their philosophical arguments concerning their Greek gods and Roman gods. And then they wanted to understand the Quran and the Sunnah in the light of the Greek philosophy. And this is where all this happened. Otherwise, before people had no problem. The companions, the Sahaba, the Tabi'in, they weren't discussing these kinds of issues because it was basic to them. Allah is above the throne, alhamdulillah. So they believed. There was no question and answer. There was no dealing into, you know, the how and the manner. This was never discussed. But when the innovators came, started asking these questions, then Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the ulama had to lay down some foundations by which we can refer to in order to refute these philosophical arguments. So we have the word tahrif and ta'til, and this didn't exist. This did not exist among the Sahaba because they did not have tahrif and ta'til and takyif and tamthil. You see, the last one is wala tamthil. Tamthil is resemblance or likening something to something. So we don't liken Allah to His creation. And this is what they were trying to avoid, the Asha'ira and the Mu'tazila and their likes, the Mu'tazilites and the Asha'rites. They were trying to avoid that, which is good. But in the process, they fell into another error. Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah agreed with them on this point, that we don't liken Allah to His creation. So when we believe that Allah has a face, which we do believe that Allah has a face, It is nothing like the basis of the creation. Nothing like that. Whatever image comes to mind of a face, whether it's a face of an elephant, or a face of a mouse, or a face of an ant, or a face of a whatever, right? The face of a building. Any face that is from the creation has nothing to do in any way, shape or form with the face of Allah Azza wa Jal. You see what I'm saying? There's nothing common between them except the name, except wajh. This is called the wajh, and the one Allah Azza wa Jal has called the wajh. The essence, there's nothing to say, nothing, there's nothing to say. So we don't do tamthil. We don't say that Allah is like this or Allah is like that. And we don't have any images either. This is very important. We are not Hindus, we're not Christians. We don't have to have an image of God so we may focus and concentrate on worshiping God. This is nonsense. We don't have that. Rather, Allah is worshipped without being seen. This is the whole essence of Iman, that you don't see Allah. In Jannah, inshaAllah, if we enter Jannah, if we stay on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, if we follow the Quran and the Sunnah, and we don't play in our lives, and we make it to Jannah, then we will see Allah Azza wa Jal. As the Prophet ﷺ told Bukhari, Muslim, and he told them, O Messenger of Allah, Sahaba, would we see our Lord? He said, do you have a problem looking at the moon on a cloudless night? Do you have any problem observing the moon? Easy. You look at the moon, it's right there. He says, verily you should see your Lord in the same fashion. The Muslims, the believers, will see Allah Azza wa Jal. And, you know, this will be the most delightful experience in Jannah. Better than Hur al-Eid, and better than the, you know, whatever people will be eating and drinking, and, you know, the lofty couches and the silk they'll be wearing, and the gold and the silver, and al-wuldan al-mukhalladun, eternal, you know, youth serving them food and drink. All this pleasure will be nothing compared to looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is all in the Quran and the Sunnah. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَى رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. يعني, how can you deny that? Faces on that day will be glowing. إِلَى رَبِّهَا, to its Lord, نَاظِرَةٌ, from نَظَرٌ, looking at its Lord. Right? And the Sunnah is clear in this context that the Muslims and the believers will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then we understand that we believe in the names and attributes of Allah without doing tahreef, distorting the meaning, giving it another meaning that is not what is understood from the apparent text. Wala ta'til, denying, where it's totally gone. We deny the meaning altogether. This is not a very convenient microphone. And thirdly, من غير تكييف. How? الله تعالى أعلم. كيف؟ الله تعالى أعلم. We don't even ask. We're just mentioning this to close the door for the innovators. Otherwise, we don't ask. أخي, how does Allah descend to the lower seven? يا أخي, سبحان الله. اتق الله. Be ashamed of Allah. You're not speaking about your neighbor. So you can say, how? There's nothing like Allah. What are you thinking about? Where is your mind going? You see the attitude? This is the attitude. You are in the wrong area. Once you start thinking in this fashion like a human being, where you imagine Allah as a human being, you're in the wrong area already. You already are deviating from the path. Because the Sahaba didn't do this. They didn't ask because they didn't imagine Allah Azza wa Jal as a human being, as it is in the Christian world, you know, where Jesus is God. So he's an European man, blonde, blue eyes, you know, long nose, you know, wearing a robe. This is God to them. And the Christian, the Catholic Christians, who are more severe in their disbelief, the concept of God, the Father, right, because they have a Father and a Son, is an old man who has a big beard and is not wearing a shirt, muscular. Maybe you've seen this image before, like some older man giving his finger like this to another man who's under him, and their fingers are touching at the tip. Supposedly this is God giving life to Adam. So they picture Allah Jalla Jalaluhu the Qaddas Asma'u as an old man, gray beard, shirtless, muscular. We say this is kufr, this is shirk, this is crazy, but this is what they believe. And so we don't follow the footsteps, right? We don't have these kind of images. Allahu Akbar, whatever you think, Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater than everything, subhanahu wa ta'ala. of His, that Allah created us for this very objective, that يعني that أن نفرض الله بالعبادة. Is it توحيد الألوهية, the worship, the one where the mushrikeen were led astray in. This is where the mushrikeen went astray. These are the ones that the Prophet ﷺ fought against. And he made their blood and their wealth and their land and their homes and their women and their children lawful to the Muslims. Because they refused to say, لا إله إلا الله. إنهم كانوا إذا قيل لهم لا إله إلا الله يستكبرون سورة الصافات. Whenever it was said to them, لا إله إلا الله, they will become arrogant. And in the other surah, أجعل الآلهة إلها واحدة إن هذا لشيء عجاب. Did he make the God one God? This is something wondrous. This is amazing. So what they rejected was worshipping Allah. Not that Allah is the creator, sustainer, because we discussed in previous session that they acknowledged Allah's rububiyyah, but they did not acknowledge Allah's uluhiyyah. وأكثر ما يعالج الرسل أقوامهم على هذا النوع من التوحيد قال تعالى ولقد بعثنا في كل أمة رسولا أن اعبدوا الله. And the one that the messengers, the form of tawheed which the messengers often had to deal with their people, was the tawheed of worship. As Allah says, and we have sent forth upon every nation a messenger that worship Allah, calling them to worshiping Allah, وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ, and avoid false deities. And this is Surah An-Nahl, verse 29. فَالْعِبَادَةُ لَا تَصُحُّ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَمَنْ أَخَلَّ بِهَذَا التَّوْحِيدِ فَهُوَ مُشْرِكٌ كَافِرٌ وَإِنْ أَقَرَّ بِتَوْحِيدِ الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ وَالْأَسْمَاءِ وَالصِّفَاتِ. So then, worship is not due to anyone but Allah. No one deserves worship but Allah. And whoever has some deficiency in his tawheed of uluhiyyah, he is a mushrik, a polytheist, kafir, disbeliever. Even if he acknowledges the tawheed of rububiyyah, the tawheed of lordship, and tawheed al-asma al-sifat. Yani, if you meet a so-called Muslim, who you ask, who created the heavens and the earth? He will say, Allah. So you believe that Allah is above his throne? Say yes. You believe Allah is the face? Yes. Alhamdulillah. Nothing like Allah. There's nothing like Allah. Good. So what are you doing around this grave? Well, you know, this Mawlana, this grave here, you know, is the one who hears me when I call upon him. He's Al-Ghawth Al-A'zam, the greatest protector, the greatest provider of assistance at the time of need. So I just, you know, I just call on him, you know, along with Allah. I do salah, I do 5 times prayer, no problem. I do salah, siyam, everything. But this is just, you know, just something on the side, you know. Because this man is virtuous, this was a wali, this was a close person to Allah. We say, even though this person, I mean, of course, if an alim is standing there explaining to him the problems after he has been taught that this is wrong, this is shirk, and given the evidences which remove all doubts, if he maintains this belief, then he is a disbeliever. Even if he acknowledges Allah's rububiyyah and Allah's asma wa sifat, right? Because he's unable to do the tawheed of al-uluhiyyah, he's no longer a Muslim. Otherwise, if we were not to make him, if we were to say he's not a kafir, then neither are the kuffar of Quraysh, or the Jews, or the Christians. Everybody becomes a Muslim then. Because they believe in Allah's rububiyyah, right? And they believe in Allah's names and attributes in some areas, that is. But what was their main issue, the Christians at least? Worshipping Allah. They worship Jesus. They worship Mary. They worship the saints. You see, so then it is impossible that this person will remain a believer if he does not acknowledge that only Allah deserves to be worshipped. Is this understood? You always look shocked.
Born Muslim, but
he's doing shirk. Well, born Muslim, there's no such, I mean, born Muslim, yes. But if he did not practice Islam at any point, then he's Muslim on his passport, or on his iqama, or whatever it is. But we're talking about practical Islam. Right? If someone is committing shirk, born Muslim or otherwise, it doesn't matter anymore. Because shirk, because if someone was to commit shirk, he will nullify his deen. Hey, so now, it's a big problem. Big problem.
فلو فرض أن رجلا يقرأ
يقر إقرارا كاملا بتوحيد الربوبية والأسماء والصفات، ولكنه يذهب إلى القبر فيعبد صاحبه أو ينذر له قربانا يتقرب به إليه، فإنه مشرك كافر خالد في النار. So the example I gave, if he was to worship a dead man in the grave, or do another, you know, a vow, he will take a vow, or he will sacrifice an animal, bring a sheep and slaughter it around, you know, the grave for that dead person, seeking nearness to him, then he is a disbeliever, mushrik, kafir, he will abide eternally in Jahannam. Allah says, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. Verily, whoever associates others in worship with Allah, then Jannah has become forbidden upon him, no Jannah. And وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ, and his abode will be Jahannam, عِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, the hellfire. And the wrongdoers will have no assistance on the day of judgment. وإنما كان التوحيد أعظم ما أمر الله لأنه الأصل الذي ينبني عليه الدين كله. The reason why Tawheed was made to be the most important thing in Islam, because it is that which Islam is built upon. It is the foundation. Islam or Tawheed is the foundation of the building, the infrastructure, the cement, the walls. If you don't have them, you cannot have a house. You cannot build a house. You bring a window, bring a fan, you don't have a roof. What? You put the fan in the air, it will fall on you. Huh? Which reminded me of a Shia, one of the Shia on YouTube, I saw it. He was on the minbar, cursing the Sahaba. On the minbar, cursing the Sahaba. And a fan from the fence, wallahi, landed right on his head and knocked him out. You don't believe me? I'll send you the link. Wallahi, he's cursing the Sahaba on the minbar. Liar, the son, liar. And Allah humiliated him on the spot. Wallahi, a fan like this, this big. You just saw it, and they have it on video. It fell from nowhere, knocked him out off the minbar. You know, all you hear is this, you know, people just making a lot of noise afterwards. They didn't show him what happened to him. I hope he died, inshallah ta'ala. So this is what happens. This is what happens. And so if you put a fan without a roof, you're not going to have a fan. Right? It's going to fall on you. So the Islam, Tawheed, is the foundation which we build our righteous deeds upon. So then the window is a righteous deed, the door is a righteous deed, the sink is a righteous deed, everything else is a righteous deed. If you don't have the foundation, you don't have any righteous deeds. Without Tawheed, everything is a waste. They're wasting their time. And people do waste their time. ولهذا بدأ به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الدعوة إلى الله وأمر من أرسله للدعوة أن يبدأ به. This is why the Messenger of Allah began his da'wah with Tawheed. They didn't deal with the other aspects of Islam. The most important thing that the Prophet ﷺ called the people to in Mecca was Tawheed. For how many years? 13 years. 13 years teaching the people La ilaha illallah and its implications. The importance of La ilaha illallah. The importance of doing tawakkul upon Allah. The importance of calling upon Allah. This was the asl, the foundation of the da'wah. Then later on in the Isra and Mi'raj, Salah became obligatory, the way we have it, the five daily prayers, fasting, all these came later on. In the beginning they were voluntary acts. The obligations as the five pillars of Islam that we have, they were later on and in the da'wah, it was not at the beginning. So this is why we do not call the people to anything until the Tawheed is established. There was no Salah until the Tawheed was there. So we don't begin calling people to the Salah if they don't know Tawheed. You follow me? We do the Salah nowadays, of course, because they should know. But Tawheed should be there with it. When we bring them to the Salah, we teach them the Tawheed. We're not saying, you know, go give him a lecture about Tawheed in his home. You know, he may not listen. He may never come to the masjid. But every day he comes to the masjid. When he comes to the masjid, we don't give him nonsense. We teach him the deen of Allah. We give him evidences, we teach him Tawheed. So his coming to the masjid, Salah, accompanied with understanding of the Tawheed, will be beneficial for him. But to leave a person ignorant foundation, this may not benefit on the day of judgment. Because Tawheed is the most important thing that we should understand. Okay? That is equal to the language. If you go to a school, you enroll in a school, huh? You want to become a doctor. And everything that they teach in school concerning medicine is in English. And you don't speak English. Are you going to learn anything? What is the most important thing you should learn before you worry about medicine? What's the thing, the tool by which you're able to learn and attend the college? Language. At this point, language is the most important thing for you. You may learn language and some other medicine, medical issues simultaneously, but without the language, you will not understand. Without Tawheed, it's the same thing. Understanding other affairs without Tawheed is baseless. It is the most important thing that a Muslim should know. So if you can never possibly succeed in a school by not knowing the language which they're teaching, how will you succeed in this life without knowing Tawheed? When Allah created us for Tawheed. Allah created us solely for Tawheed. This is the most important job. Huh? And we're getting paid for it a lot of money. Come on, how much do you get paid to live? Breath. How much will it cost to breathe? How much will it cost for your blood to buy a machine that continues to make your blood circulate? Or your heart to pump? How much will it cost? Plenty. Millions and millions and millions of money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all that. So we may fulfill this job, one job, and Muslims are too busy. Am I wrong? Too busy. We got every other job except the main job which we created for. So we find a Muslim living his whole life ignorant about Salah, ignorant about the Tawheed, the most basic thing. We do not know anything about them. But if you ask them about anything, say, I think my phone is off. You say, oh no, there's a button right here on the back. Give me over here. He'll take out a thing and he'll reset your phone, fix everything, mashallah. Say, mashallah. I'm very intelligent. Why don't you use this knowledge for the deen of Islam? No. You see? So if Allah gave you some brain, inshallah, then let's understand the deen with that brain and then benefit from it in the dunya at the same time. But we should give Allah his right. We should understand the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately. وَأَعْظَمَ مَا نَهَى عَنْهُ الشِّرْكِ. And the greatest thing that Allah forbade is shirk. وَهُوَ دَعْوَةُ غَيْرِهِ مَعَهُ. What is shirk? Calling upon other than Allah with Allah. Pay attention. It is not only calling upon other than Allah, right? It's calling upon other than Allah along with Allah. So there's Allah and someone else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is shirk. Unlike what many people think. So they think if I'm worshipping Allah, then I'm fulfilling Tawheed. No. We've had, reverse Filipino Muslims, some of the Filipino Muslims who embrace Islam in the Da'wah Center. And what happens is we take them to, after we give them a course, they learn the course of Tawheed and Tahara, Salah and so forth. We take them to a special place, Mahkamah, where they declare their Islam again in front of a judge. And then they send their paperwork to Mecca for processing. Then they bring it back so they would have legal paperwork that they're Muslims now, right? And then through this paperwork they can go to Hajj and Umrah, they can have a green Iqamah and all the benefits. So these new Muslims are supposed to be taught Islam. Now Allah decreed, I used to go with them in the bus trip from Hayy Salama and the Da'wah Center Wazir al-Ghardaha, Hayy al-Aziziya, right? And I used to go with them trying to ease the, because they were afraid, they're afraid a bunch of new Muslims go to court. So they, when they hear the word court, they think somebody will arrest them, maybe they've done some bad things in the past. So I used to go with them to make the whole process easy. So I would try and make it beneficial, right? I'm sitting in the front of the bus, I have a microphone like this one, and I'm asking them questions, right? I turn my back, ask them questions, my face up went towards them, to see what have they learned. I'm not the teacher, right? Other Filipino du'at are teaching them. So I ask them questions, huh? I try to make it fun. So it's okay. And I start, my question, who's the first prophet, Of course, many times they answer correctly. And many times I got some answers that man go out. Of course, I didn't do that. He's innocent. Nobody taught him. But I got some crazy answers from people who are supposed to know Islam. One of them, for example, so who's the last messenger? Jesus. What do you mean, who's the last? How did you become a Muslim without believing that Muhammad is the last messenger? You know, so this puzzled me. This is an example. Another example, does Allah have any, you know, does Allah have a son? Yes. Jesus. La ilaha illallah. I'm shocked. You know, I'm sitting in the front of the bus, you know, thinking, oh, am I in the right place here? Did these brothers really go through the course? I'm like, who's your teacher? Right? What did you learn? So, you know, problems. Sometimes they're absent. We don't blame the Dawah Center. The guy doesn't come to the Friday. We have a Friday special day dedicated for them. So they teach him. He misses a Friday. And the Friday he misses the whole thing. So he still believes that Jesus is the Son of Allah. That, you know, Jesus is the final messenger of Allah. This is, you know, this is unacceptable. You cannot be a believer and believe that. Right? So the idea is that calling along with Allah. So for someone to say, I worship Allah 5 times a day, but I call on to Jesus, you know, at night, we say you're a mushrik. Huh? Because shirk is to worship Allah and someone else along with Allah. Is that clear? Just in case somebody gave you some doubt. وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. What's the evidence for that? Allah says, worship Allah and associate none in worship with Him. This is Surah Al-Ma'idah. No, Afwan. Surah Al-Nisa, verse 36. Worship Allah. Wala. Is yes or no? Affirming or negating? Negating. Wala. Tushriku. Lwaw is for the plural. All of you. Bihi shay'a. In Him anything. Don't worship anything alongside with Allah. I'budullah. Worship Allah alone. And don't worship anything along with Him. This is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. The Shaykh says in commenting, أَعْظَمَ مَا نَهَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُ الشِّرْكِ وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ أَعْظَمَ الْحُقُوقُ وَحَقُّ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. The greatest thing that Allah forbade is shirk. Because the greatest of rights is the right of Allah. The greatest of rights, there's the rights of your husband, wife, rights of the children, rights of your parents, rights of your neighbors, rights of the creation, but the right of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the greatest right is the right of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِذَا فَرَّطَ فِيهِ الْإِنسَانِ فَقَدْ فَرَّطَ فِي أَعْظَمِ الْحُقُوقِ. If someone is negligent in that right, then he is negligent in the greatest of rights. You see the rationale. وَهُوَ تَوْحِدُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. It is maintaining Allah's uniqueness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Very shirk is great oppression. This is who said this to who? Who said this to who? Luqman. To who? To his son. Ya bunayya, la tushrik billah. Inna shirka la dhulmun azeem. Verily shirk is great oppression. This is the first thing he advised him, by the way. If you read Surah Luqman, you will see that he gave him a number of advices in that one page, right? In the second page. And the first one was this. The first one, then he dealt with the parents, then he dealt with أَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةِ وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَعْنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَفَضْلَ تُصَعَدْ خَبْدَكَ لِلنَّاسِ and so on and so forth. But the greatest one was this one. Do not associate partners with Allah, subhanAllah. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا. Whoever associates partners with Allah, then he has alleged and he has come up with a great sin. إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا. Great disobedience. وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. And whosoever worship others with Allah, he has went far and clear astray. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى. And the same ayah we quoted earlier, this is redundant. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أعظم الذنب أن تجعل لله ندا وهو خلقك. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the greatest sin is that you make an equal with Allah while He created you. While He's the creator, meaning that they should not have another equal with Allah. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام فيما رواه مسلم عن جابر رضي الله عنه من لقي الله لا يشرك به شيئا دخل الجنة ومن لقي Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever meets Allah while worshipping none with him shall enter Jannah. And whoever meets Allah while worshipping others with him shall enter the hellfire. That's the bottom line from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من مات وهو يدعو من دون الله ندا دخل النار. Whoever dies while calling besides Allah an equal in his arrival to Allah, he shall enter Jahannam, narrated by Bukhari. واستدل المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى لأمر الله تعالى بالعبادة ونهي عن الشرك بقوله عز وجل واعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا. And the evidence used to affirm that Tawheed must be established and shirk must be prohibited is the statement of Allah and worship Allah and associate none in worship with Him. فأمر الله سبحانه وتعالى بعبادته ونهى عن الشرك به وهذا يتضمن إثبات العبادة له وحده فمن لم يعبد الله فهو كافر مستكبر. So this entails that Allah is to be worshipped alone, and whoever does not worship Allah then he is an arrogant disbeliever. ومن عبد الله وعبد معه غيره فهو كافر مشرك. And whoever worships Allah and worships others with him, then he is a disbelieving polytheist. So the first one is arrogant, where he doesn't even bother to worship Allah, but he's a kafir also. The second one, he worships Allah and others with him, he's not as arrogant as the first, but he's still a kafir and a mushrik because of the act of worshipping others with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ عَبَدَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ فَهُوَ مُسْلِمٌ مُخْلِصٌ. And whoever worships Allah alone, he is the Muslim who is sincere. This is it. There's only one category that we should belong to. The category of the Muslim who is a mukhlis, يعني مخلص الدين لله. Right? That he is sincere to Allah and his religion. And then the Shaykh, rahimahullah, will go on to explain the two kinds of shirk, which we will leave inshaAllah ta'ala till the next week if we all remain alive. We will be breaking down the kinds of shirk that are out there, and then we will be dealing with some more fundamental principles. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Jazakumullahu khairan.